It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we're going to begin reading with the seventh verse tonight, today. And I'd like for you to join me here in a minute. While you're looking that up, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus chapter 33, beginning to read with verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Let's begin with prayer now after we've read God's precious word. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come and just enjoy this time. Oh, dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word and study your word. I just ask today that you will just take your precious word, show us so carefully the ways that you would have us to learn. It is your word. The Holy Spirit lives within our heart. So you teach us. We search your word. We study your word. And we are not taught by man, but we are taught by your precious Spirit, the truth. And so we can use preachers to do that. We can use teachers to do that. We can study ourselves. But no matter how we hear your word, it is always taught to us perfectly by your Spirit. And dear Father, I thank you for that. Now please today, you touch every heart. Those hearts that are lost, that don't know you as their Savior, today you'll touch them, dear Lord. You'll save them. Please that you would do that today, dear Lord. It's so important that they come by faith to you and receive you as their Savior. And we know that that's a time that they do that, and it's not just something that happens, not just something that evolves. It is something, dear Father, that takes place when we ask you to come into our hearts. You convict our hearts of sin, and we confess that sin and call upon you as our Savior. Please today that this be a day that take place with all that are listening. And then we begin to grow and walk each day with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have several things here. We have just spent the time in the previous study in chapter 33 here with these stiff-necked people. And they followed after their own ways. You know, that's a problem when an individual is stiff-necked. It means that they have their opinion, and their opinion is the only opinion. I've met many people in my lifetime that are that way. None of those folks are of great value. And the reason they're not of great value is because they will not listen. A person that is stiff-necked is a person that will not listen. Many a stiff-necked person dies and goes to hell because they will not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad to say, many believers even become stiff-necked. They become so knowledgeable and so wise in their own thinking that they think that no one can teach them anything. I have studied, I learned it, I know it all. Oh, my friend, when you get to that place, you're in the same category as these Israelites. They're not listening, they're stiff-necked. And God here names them, and it's so sad, and we've talked about that the last time we were together. For thou art a stiff-necked people. Ye are a stiff-necked people. And we know that God chose in these first six verses here to speak very clearly. And he told Moses, he said, Moses, you lead them, because if I come amongst them, I'll kill them. I'm going to destroy them. Because they have turned from me, and they have their own opinion, their own way, and they will not listen to me. And so I'm just going to do away with them. And so if you want to lead them on to this land that I'm going to promise to you, I will allow you to do that. But I'm not going with you. And then we have quite a beautiful section here in verse 12 through verse 17 that is when Moses really pleads that I am not going unless you go with me. And so it is a tremendous call. We need to look at it, but we need to see first that we are not a stiff-necked people. That's the first thing. Please stop and you know, I don't care how you want to demonstrate it, how you want to kind of get it off in your mind what a stiff-necked person is. But a stiff-necked person is a person that doesn't listen. You have shut everything out because you know it all. I know people like that. I know people like that today. I go, you know, churches are full of stiff-necked people. And the day comes that they think they have everything and they know everything, and they're going to teach you all that they have. That's a sad, sad day. That's a stiff-necked person. And so we just ask today that God will soften those people, that they will no longer be stiff-necked, but they will turn. You know, as long as your neck is stiff, you're facing one direction, God's calling you to turn. And so we need to do that. So we, all different levels of people can sure fall into that category of being stiff-necked. But the first category, I'm going to say it again, and that is that people don't listen. You just don't listen. And that's so sad. God wants our ears open. He wants us to hear what is spoken. And so that's first. We come now and we find after this discussion, and I guess I need to read the fifth verse here. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of the ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And we know that many of the ornaments that were given to build this golden calf that has provoked the Lord, angered the Lord in such a manner. But he says here twice in verse 3 and in verse 5 that I will consume thee. And so it is very, very sad unto the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So you can see very clearly here, you can see what's going on and see what is taking place here. And it's so sad that we have this problem today, that the people are in this mode and this action this way. Now we find here in the seventh verse that Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. He has the plans for the tabernacle, and the tabernacle at this point in time has not been built yet, and so we don't know what to expect here. And so with this tabernacle not being built, undoubtedly it must be a model. It must be a small example, a small model of what is going to be built. But Moses withdraws it out of the camp. He takes it away from the people, literally. And that's just what it says here. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it come to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now some things are taking place here. Moses didn't take it for himself. Moses did not take it for himself. Moses took this for he took it away from the people. Plus he kind of wanted to see what was taking place in the camp. Would they follow? And so a couple of things here in the seventh verse that we need to take a look at. Number one, Moses pitched the tabernacle, and he, again, not for himself by any means here. This was made so that he could find out the heart of the people. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to find the heart of the people. And so as we look at what's going on here, we find that to bring it outside, it further humiliated the people, because God's power and God's presence left. God's presence left, because the tabernacle is where it was to be. They were to meet God, and God, through Moses, Moses didn't do this on his own. I'm sure it was under God's direction. He took away this place because God was not willing to meet with them. He pitched it without the camp, in an example of showing them that they were unworthy of it, and afar off from the camp, it says. And the only way that this could be resolved is if they would make peace with their God. You're not going to just go on as things are normal here. That's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. And so what we need to do here is we need to take care of this problem. Now, to take care of this problem is something that's very difficult to do. To resolve this problem is not simple, but it can be done. And the reason it's not simple is because these are stiff-necked people. Their heart is hardened. But we find a beautiful example here. The beautiful example, because Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one that sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, we're to be a separated people. That we are to be a separated people. And this action that was done here by Moses making them make a decision. They couldn't just sit back and look at each other and says, well, I think we're fine now. The tabernacle was gone. Moses took it. And when Moses took this tabernacle, the only thing that could be done is we must follow. And so those that chose to did. And they sought the Lord, went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And so they have found their way. It was a sign that God is angry when he removes his tabernacle. We have a couple of verses of scripture here that I would like to look up. One is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 3. And there is some times here we need to see. Ezekiel chapter 10, I'm sorry, it's verse 4. And then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubim and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the cloud was filled with the brightness of the Lord's glory. Well, that is what happens when God is present. Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is in the east side of the city. You see what happened? The departure, the leaving of the Shekinah glory cloud. And every time that the tabernacle was moved, it would go stand before the camp, and then it would lead the camp. Otherwise, it was always up on the Holy of Holies, up on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, between the cherubims in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And so that's the location that the Shekinah glory cloud should have always stayed. But instead of that, when the people were rebellious, God pulled his glory away from them. And we have here, he did not even allow them to set the tabernacle up amongst them. He did not allow that. And so we have the one where the Shekinah glory cloud is present. The second verse of scripture I read is where it is leaving. And so please, when he leaves, it's because we're disobedient. And so if his power leaves us, it's because we're disobedient. If we don't feel we have his power, it's because we're disobedient. We have not surrendered to him. We have not turned our lives to him. The tabernacle of the congregation, again, there was a plan made. It was received by Moses up Mount Sinai from the Lord. This model, something here, was erected very quickly. It was erected for an example. And everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle. All were invited. Isn't that wonderful? But sad to say, we're not told that all went. It says all that sought the Lord went. And so let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. Ezekiel 36, 37. And thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. He desires to have a people. And he wants us to come to him and to serve him freely and openly. He could demand us, he could require us to serve him under bondage. We are not under bondage. We are his servant, but we serve him out of love, not out of an obedience, not out of a requirement. Everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle. Now, if we look now back in Exodus, Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It appears that Moses is going to be a mediator between the people and God. You know, his brother Aaron will be the high priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator, and he is always going. Anytime we pray to our Father, he is intercessing. He is our intercessor between ourselves and our God. Yes, Jesus is God, but we're going to God the Father, but it has to be through the Son. And so if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus personally as your Savior, you cannot go to the Father. You can pray to God. You can say, God this and God that, and I want this and I need that. And I know he answers our prayer, but he does not. It's all in your head if you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ and been saved. And so we see here that he is undertaking to mediate between God and Israel. And could they have asked for a better mediator than a better intercessor than Moses? Not at all. Moses has such a love for God and such a love for his people. And so what a perfect choice that we have here. And the people looked after him. When they followed to the camp, to where the, not to the camp, but to the tabernacle where it was set up, and it, which was outside the camp, which is very clear here, sought the Lord, went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it come to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door. They looked upon Moses. And it's kind of strange here to figure out, because you kind of see them leaving their camp and leaving their tents. But it appears that wherever he located this tabernacle, that it was within view. And here we find each man standing at his tent door, staring, looking to Moses. They had given Moses up to be for dead, hadn't they? That's what started all this. Now they're willing to follow him. Oh, we need to turn to Jesus. You know, many a person through the day when Jesus was crucified and was buried, they gave him up for dead. But they found out 3 days later he came out of that grave alive, victorious, and they begin to follow him. They do the same thing here with Moses. We have so many examples of Moses being like the Lord Jesus Christ. The people looked after him, this man Moses, the Israelites did. The man, again, that they had given up for dead. And now they're following. And we get to the 9th verse. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The disciples did the same when they followed Jesus. They followed him to the place where the Shekinah glory cloud, where the cloud come under Jesus. Remember that when you read that in the Gospels, the mount when he ascended into heaven. This was some 40 days after the resurrection. And they just stood there and they watched him raise up into the heavens. And then all of a sudden the cloud comes underneath him and he disappears. Moses does the same thing. Only this Shekinah glory cloud comes to the door. And so whatever this was, however big it was, if it was just a small tent, we're not sure, because the tabernacle itself was not built at this time. And so, but something that represented the tabernacle worked here. And they followed Moses. They watched him go to that place. And then a cloud received him, as did the Lord Jesus when Jesus went to heaven. And the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. What a wonderful day. All the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. The people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle. All the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. Their humble standing there. They adored the Lord of our only. They stood and knowing this is the true God. They were joyful. They were full of thanksgiving. They had a lot to be thankful for. God could have left them in their sin to start with. Could have left them back in Egypt. But he brought them out. He could have killed every one of them, of which was the desire. And Moses interceded, if you remember. God didn't kill them. And now, to show them such things as these, does this mean that he has forgiven us? That would be a good question. To worship. The people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. That's the end of verse 10. Again, Exodus 33:10. To worship God in our tents with our eyes on Christ. That's what we need. But there's another step. They're at the tent door. They're worshiping him publicly. So you see, it's not just to be in your prayer closet. and to say, I'm a believer, and stand for the Lord Jesus, and say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but then there's nothing in your life that gives that appearance. These people, it gives the walk that they followed out. Then it said that they stood in their tent door and worshiped. You know, we have Daniel. You know, he was commanded by the king not to bow down to anything but this image, and he opens his doors and his windows towards Jerusalem, and he begins to say have his prayer time just like he always did before, and he did it publicly. These people here did it publicly in their tent doors. This cloudy pillar that had left when the Kef arrived is slowly moving back. It's not back into the camp yet, but it has arrived. And I believe that this Shekinah glory cloud left. All the protection, all the power was gone. And now that Moses is coming to intervene, and he moves the tabernacle away from the camp, and then he goes into the tabernacle, and this Shekinah glory cloud comes and separates him from the people. But its very presence should show them, again, they are forgiven. If our heart moves towards God, He will meet us. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Please come down and meet with us. Should be our request unto the Lord. Come and meet with us. We find in the 9th verse, to back up just a little bit here, we find that God talked with Moses. He talked with him face to face. He talked with him not as a judge and as one that's trying to negotiate a contract or negotiate a deal here to save these people. God dealt with Moses as a friend. They talked as if it was face to face, as a man that speaks to his friend, the Scripture tells us. What wonderful verses here. As a man speaketh unto his friend, verse 11. And so God did talk with God. You know, and again, spoke not as a king, but not as a judge, not as a king to his subjects, a judge and condemning someone. It was a friend to a friend. We are told here that Moses leaves Joshua there. It is as if we're not going to leave this tabernacle unattended from now on. And so Joshua seems to stay. Is it because, you know, God may speak, and Moses, when he comes to talk to the people, he does not want that tabernacle to be unattended. And so what a beautiful story that we have here as Moses goes before the people. But everything just doesn't go on as normal. Moses takes the tabernacle out of the camp. Now what's going to happen? The people could have turned their backs to it and went the other way. But instead of that, we see what really took place here. We see that Moses took it out. They wanted to see how the people responded, and the people came. And all those that came were received. And those that received began to worship. And what a beautiful picture we have of God's hand of forgiveness through all that has taken place here. And so we're going to continue in the 12th verse the next time we get together. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. There's a concern. Moses is saying, I'm not going to move these people by myself. I can't. I need you. And we need to do the same thing. What a speech, what a talk that Moses has with God here, saying, I'm not moving until you go with me. I can't. Oh, if we would do the same. I'm not moving, God, until you go with me. And then I'll know it's your will. What a way to go. What a way to be. I ask you that as we enjoy these studies, my greatest concern is that you know Jesus as your Savior. And so, as always, we end with the same. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?